I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Just me being a guy that's been in that position, whereas I got here, we had Kyle Williams, Lorenzo Alexander, guys like that. So I don't want to mess up when I'm the youngest guy on the field and got guys. So I can understand the position he's in. So the only thing I could do is just give him little nuggets in his ear here and there, because, you know, he already has everybody else in his ear. So I just want to kind of just slow play it and just know that, let him know, like, anything he needs, any questions, like, I'm here to be a resource for sure.
That is Buffalo Bills corner. Can I call him new corner? Like, how do we treat Tre'Davious White here? He's kind of an old corner, new corner, left, came back, you know?
Fan favorite.
Is he old or new, though? Is he veteran, Bills veteran corner Trey White? Is
I
he
would
Bills
say
new corner Trey White?
I'd say veteran.
He mean, he left for a year. It's like, you know.
Right.
Then he came back. He is veteran cornerback Trey White, and we know very well a lot about him, so I'm not going to call him new corner.
Yeah.
Re-signed, for sure, to the team, back, and of course the Bills made some moves at cornerback. Tre'Davious White, they used their first-round pick on Maxwell Hairston of Kentucky, and of course Dane Jackson comes back to the team as well. You can find all that audio on demand at WGR550.com and in the Odyssey app. Joining me now on the Wester Hotline to talk about some of the Bills draft picks and also what's happening in Houston, a team the Bills will play again, the Texans, in November on a Thursday night, is our buddy John Harris, the sideline reporter for the Texans. And of course, find him at HoustonTexans.com and FootballTakeover.com. What is going on, brother? How are you today?
I'm very well. And when I heard you breaking down those corners, I start thinking, oh boy, you didn't even mention Christian Benford amongst that group,
right?
And how good that group can be. And it's funny, as you texted me yesterday, Sal, and I was thinking about, you know, what Buffalo did in the draft. And I was like, man, I wonder if Maxwell Hairston has kind of a Kamari Lasser impact on Buffalo. You know, you think about what the role, okay, he might play the nickel. That'll be where he starts. And then all of a sudden, man, he's too good. We got to get him on the field. And that's what happened for us with Kamari Lasser last year. He's drafted in the second round. Everybody panicked about running a 4.6 in the 40. And I was like, this dude's good, y'all. Second week OTAs, he's outside opposite Stingley. And he never gave that position up. And then at the end of the year, you're like, man, this dude's one of our probably 5 to 7 best players and probably the number one player the coaching staff absolutely loves. And, you know, when you guys drafted Maxwell Hairston, I kind of had that same thought of, yeah, they're going to think you're going to play him at the nickel, but he might be too good. He might have to eventually play opposite Benford. But that's where Tre'Davious comes in, having that experience and having been there and still having some juice left becomes key for them, because if Maxwell can play inside and Tre'Davious is outside with Benford outside, that gets to be a very difficult three-corner group to have to try and throw against, especially with the front that can bring some heat as well.
Yeah, last year, Rasul Douglas just did not have quite the year that he had when he first came to Buffalo for those eight games in 2023, and the Bills really kind of had to address outside corners. So here comes Maxwell Harrison, first pick for the Buffalo Bills this year, one of the faster, if not the fastest player at the combine. I can't remember exactly, but what did you think about him when you were going through the draft process and how he would fit into an NFL defense?
You know, it's funny, I was at the Senior Bowl back in January, and I had the opportunity to sit on the scout side, you know, where all the scouts sit and sit there with all the media and agents. I sat with the scouts. And so I was a fan of Harrison's going in, and I had the same reaction. There was a scout next to me, I think he was from Chicago, and he was talking to a couple of his guys, and he's like, hey, man, Harrison can play, but boy, he's small. He's smaller than I thought. And that was kind of my thought, like, he's a little smaller than I thought. But other than that, I didn't really, like, okay, we seemed like Kamari was not as big as I thought he was either. And Kamari, you know, was tremendous for us in 2024. And so when you just flip on Harrison's tape, it's like, man, you can't take your eyes off him. And I remember him from the year before because Kentucky had Andrew Phillips in the secondary. They had a linebacker whose name escapes me at the moment. They had some dudes, and you're like, dude, 11 is pretty damn good. And he discontinued that. I thought the Senior Bowl, he was one of the stickier corners. And I wasn't really paying attention to corner a lot. But I clocked that moment that scout had said, you know, he's a little, and then he looked at the other scout and he said, yeah, but he can play. And I was like, yeah, he's a little smaller, I guess, than you might want. You know, he's not Stingley size. You know, he's not Sertan size. He's not Sauce size. But that's okay. If you can match and cover routes nowadays, it really doesn't matter what your size is. And I think that's where Harrison really, I think, is going to make some inroads right away for the Bills. And again, it's got health. You got to stay healthy. But he's the kind of guy that strikes me as, if he's out there every single day, he gets better and better stacking days. And by the end of the year, he's going to be a force on that defense. So when they drafted him, when came across the screen, we were out about doing our draft party. And so we're finishing up our draft night on radio that night, and I see the Bills draft Harrison. We were talking about something else. The Texans had just traded down, so we're still kind of in that wash, if you will. And I just popped up and went, hey, y'all, the Bills are drafting Maxwell Harrison. This is going to be one hell of a pick for them. And then we went right back to talking about the Texans.
Of course.
But I was very, for Buffalo, very pleased with that pick. I think they can be very happy. And what it does to me is, you'd love for Tre'Davious to be the guy again, as you guys were talking about. You know, is he old Tre'Davious? Is he new Tre'Davious? What it does is it kind of takes the pressure off him to be great if Harrison is everything that we think he's going to be. And it just makes, oh, wow, Tre'Davious really does have something left in the tank. This gives us a lot of options defensively for what we can do with the three corners, the three cover guys we have.
They stayed in the SEC, the Bills did, for their most of their, you know, first part of their draft at least. TJ Sanders, defensive tackle, South Carolina. Landon Jackson, edge from Arkansas. Deion Walker, defensive tackle, go back to Kentucky. Then they go Jordan Hancock, Ohio State. Jackson Hawes, tight end, Georgia Tech. Dorian Strong, Virginia Tech cornerback. Chase Lunt, a offensive lineman from Connecticut. And Caden Prather, a wide receiver from Maryland. I bring up all those names because I want to know from you, John. You study this, you go through the process. Any one stand out to you like, yes, Al, like, I really like that guy and fit for the Bills?
Well, taking everything into consideration, I actually thought day three for the Bills was a home run. I mean, getting Deion Walker on round four literally and figuratively huge. I mean, that guy is absolutely enormous. Now, he's got to play with lower pad level, and he's got to be a little bit more active in that way. But he's from Detroit. He plays like he's from Detroit, which is a good thing. He can play angry at times, and I think he's got to do a little bit more of that. But I love the Jackson Hawes pick. I mean, obviously we know what tight ends the Bills have, but those are pass-catching tight ends. I don't think, they'll fight, they'll compete in blocking, but that's not what they do. Jackson Hawes, that's what he does. He's like, don't worry about this, I got this. I mean, he is a blocker, but at the Senior Bowl, I was really impressed with Hawes' hands. I was like, man, he's got some soft hands, mm-hmm. and he's an Ivy Leaguer, so you know I'm going to love him. Dorian Strong, I thought, was a very good pick in round six. I loved Chase Lunt. I was very disappointed that he got all the way to round six and the Texans didn't draft him. They had plenty of opportunities to. He's a Texan. He's from the Metroplex Dallas area. And I thought, man, bring him back home. He was, I thought, solid, can play him at guard maybe down the road, but I thought tackle, he moves really well. And Caden Prather, I thought, was one of the more underrated picks. I thought if you got him in round 4 or 5, you could feel good, but to get him in round 7, I thought that was a complete steal. So I really love, not as if I didn't like TJ Sanders, Landon Jackson, but I think everybody's going to talk about rounds 2 and 3. I thought day 3 for the Bills was a home run. I think of those guys, they may not find, you know, 5 starters out of that group, but they might find their run blocking tight end in that group. They might find their 6th offensive lineman down the road. You know, the Bills use a lot of the 6th offensive lineman down the road.
Yep.
Now, because they have Hawes, maybe they don't use it as much, but Chase Lunt can end up being down the road that 6th offensive lineman. And if something were to happen to Spencer Brown or to Deion Dawkins, you know, down the road, Lunt can be a guy that you tackle on this roster, but maybe he's the 6th offensive lineman. So maybe it's not specific starters, but they fill roles that the Bills needed going forward in 2025 and beyond.
Yeah, that's what we think here, too, with, like, instead of Alec Anderson coming in and reporting eligible, now you have a guy that actually has an eligible number, and you can throw it to him, right? I mean, you can run the same set with a guy who can do that, no doubt. Let's talk about the team that you cover, because there's been some noise, and people are wondering what's going on with C.J. Stroud. What's fact and what's fiction about C.J. Stroud not throwing during OTAs right now?
Your guess is as good as mine.
So. All right.
No one really knows. We went out for OTAs, and it was the first OTA, and you know, I usually get there relatively early, and the guys, as you know, kind of float over whenever. And you know, thought they were practicing 9:30. It was really 9:45, but it gets to be about 9:40, and I'm like, Mark Vandermeer, the voice of Texans, walks next to me, and I said, "Hey, we're 7." And oh, okay, there he is. Came floating in like 2 or 3 minutes before 9:45. The quarterbacks are over doing drills, and he's kind of not over there with them. And I thought, okay, well, this is different. No big deal. Get to practice, you know. They start throwing to running backs and such. And I look over and I'm like, Mark, he's not throwing to running backs. What's going on? And they didn't throw that practice. And then we actually saw all 3 OTAs that week. He didn't throw in any of those practices. And by Friday, it's a full-on, okay, what's going on? What's happening here? Now, D'Amico didn't speak on Friday. They had assistant coaches speak, as they pretty much do each and every OTAs, last one of the week, assistant coaches. So we had to wait till yesterday for D'Amico to meet with the media. And, of course, he tried to address it up front. And then, of course, one of the media members asked, well, did he have surgery in the offseason? And D'Amico said, look, that's all about CJ. You know, I just said, you know, it's general soreness. He'll be ready. We're moving on. So it seems as if everything's okay. I don't think it's, hey, nothing to see here, but the team really isn't panicking. Now, if you want to say panicking was drafting Graham Mertz in the 6th round, okay, I guess. But I don't get the impression that anybody's really, really worried about it at this point. I think they're like, maybe it might be an issue, but I think we're fine. He'll be a gamer. Whatever he's got going on, we'll fight through. So all the questions of, did he have surgery in the offseason? How bad is it? I think any of those really, now at this point, it's really anybody's guess. What we have is D'Amico Ryan saying, he's going to be fine. He'll be ready to go in training camp. And I guess for a lot of people, yeah, okay, that's good enough. All right, we're good. But you've been around this thing, you know, a long time, as have I. We've seen things happen where you're like, whoa, they told me it was okay, but it's really not. And I think for Texans fans, we had an experience last year with our linebacker, Christian Harris. And Christian, right before camp started, I mean, literally days before it started, he got hurt. So he's unable to practice the first couple weeks. We went up to Ohio, played in the game in Canton, came back. He practiced on a Sunday for the first time. After 30 minutes, he went out of practice and really was kind of out of sight, out of mind until about 3 or 4 weeks into the year. And everybody was like, hey, wait a second, where's Christian Harris? And the team, we were very vague, you know, didn't say a whole lot. Weren't sure, and we didn't get him back until week 14. And so I think there's a kind of some of that going on. Hey, what if it's a Christian Harris situation? I'm like, hey, I don't know. So we don't really know. And I think that's what makes it kind of interesting, intriguing, and really not a lot of fun, because we really just don't have the right answers at this point. So hopefully things are going to go okay. But I think the league saw last year how much he got beat up and got beat up pretty badly. So how much of that is a hangover from the 2024 season? Then how much of it is, you know, it's literally just giving his arm and shoulder just some rest and taking some throws off his arm because we're hoping for him to be healthy and he's got a lot of throws to make during the season. So we'll see, but I can't sit here and say, I'm not worried about this thing at all. Because if we don't have C.J. Stroud, you know, we won't win the AFC South if we don't have C.J. Stroud. And that's a ticket into the dance. We have C.J., everything changes, obviously. So, you know, I can't say that I have zero panic. I'm not, like, completely worried that we should go trade for Kirk Cousins today. But I do think it is definitely something worth watching. And until he throws, and there's been talk that it might be next week in minicamp, but until he throws, I think there will be this just a little bit of worry. It's like that little kind of, you know, little noise you hear in your ear. It doesn't bother you at the time, but you know it's there. But if that gets louder and louder, like, oh, man, it's going to start really angering some people and frustrating some people. But we'll see. So if you see the Texans trade for Kirk Cousins, maybe that gives us all the answers.
What is the latest on Tank Dell after that gruesome injury we saw last year?
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I would love to say that Tank is ready to go in 2025. I think my gut tells me that 2026 is the right thing to do. Now, Tank is, I mean, this kid's, I mean, his family background, what he came from, what he basically got through just to get to the NFL has been incredible. And then he obviously gets hurt at the end of 2023. We missed him in the playoffs. He gets shot during the summer, but he's back for training camp. He then has this gruesome injury. So I'm never going to count Tank out. But I think with all that he had happen to that knee, my guess is that he will more than likely miss 2025 and move on to 2026. But that just gives him an additional year to come on back for 2026, ready to go as much as he's going to be. And when he does come back, hopefully at that point, we'll have a couple of younger receivers in Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel with Christian Kirk and Nico Collins. Now you throw a healthy Tank into that, and you're like, okay, that's the receiving core that C.J. Stroud deserves and this city wants. So, but we might have to wait a year for that. He had his ACL surgery, I think it was in March, mid to late March, I believe, because they had surgery to fix the other things first. And he got hurt in December. So they had to fix everything else first, rehab that, then he did the ACL surgery. I actually saw him in the training room working on one of those zero gravity things. And it was just awesome to see him run, but I just don't know that we're going to see him play in 2025. But if he has to sit all of 2025 and he's fully healthy for 2026, at this point, I'll take it.
Speaking of receivers, I am fascinated to get your take on Stephon Diggs. And now that he's past Houston, what he was like there last year and your thoughts on what transpired over the last, you know, week or so with him in New England and in the boat and all that.
When he was in Houston, our people in Houston loved him. Loved him. They saw the leadership skills. They saw the mentorship skills that we needed. And if you look at how things went for us, just record-wise, we were 5-2. We beat the Colts. That made us, I think, 6-2 at that point. I think that was what we were, 6-2, I think. Then and Steph gets hurt in that game against the Colts. We win that game. Anthony Richardson begs out, and now they got a whole situation. It was a wild afternoon. But then we lose Diggs. We lost all quick game. We lost all explosiveness at our receiver position, and the offense lost any semblance of leadership, really, that Steph brought to it. We were up in Minnesota in week 3. We got it handed to us. It was at halftime. I talked to D'Amico Ryans. But in Minnesota, there's this long walk to the locker room. And so I walked all the way in, and I can hear this kind of noise kind of behind me, and I realized, oh, that's Steph. And Steph is just giving it to a couple offensive linemen. I mean, giving it to them. And it was much deserved. And I remember thinking, hell yeah, Steph, give it to them. We're playing like garbage. Give it to them. We missed him. And when you talk to people in this building, they'll tell you, like, he was great. Now, after he got injured, he obviously went off and rehabbed somewhere else. But he came back a couple times throughout the year. He was warmly received. And now, again, it was a contract year. So I always think about that in a contract year. How do guys act? How do guys play? How do they respond? Oh, I'm going to be on my up and up. And I think about a couple of guys and a few guys that have done that over the years. Like, I don't know what we're going to see the first 2-3 years. That hasn't been great. What are we going to see in year 4? Well, you're going to see a stud year because it's a contract year. And I think for Steph, he knew, hey, I can't go to Houston act a fool. But I also feel like Steph came in and he saw what was here. He saw what was building and he thought, okay, this is a pretty good opportunity for me. Now all of a sudden he signs in New England. I don't know if Steph looks at it and says, this isn't really where I want to be. I don't know what's going on here in New England. I don't know if I feel Vrabel as the head coach. I'm not totally sure about all this. I don't know. But I do know here in Houston, the 1 year he spent, or 8-9 months he was here, he was very highly thought of for how much of a mentor he was. I mentioned Kamari Lassiter early. He and Kamari used to talk after every practice. In training camp, you'd see him spend like 4 or 5 minutes just working on, you know, kind of releases and things in the line of scrimmage and really helping out a defensive player. So from that perspective, he was really thought of very highly in Houston. And I know things in Buffalo at times weren't always great. I'm curious this whole thing in New England, how it's going to go. I think somebody made a very prescient point here. Like, you come to Houston, you've already got Tank Dell and you've got Nico Collins. Steph can look at it and go, hey, those guys are good. They deserve the ball. He goes to New England. There's nobody there you look at it and go, they should get the ball over Stephon Diggs on almost every pass route. So they throw the ball somebody or somewhere else. Steph's not going to be happy about that, right? I mean, you guys know that more than anything else. If he looks at it and he perceives lesser thans getting more opportunities than him and they're losing, it's going to be hell to pay in New England. But here in Houston, he can look at it and say, well, Nico and Tank deserve theirs. They're good. I'm going to get mine too, but they deserve theirs. And he was just as happy for them when they had success as they were for him when he had success.
Interesting stuff. John Harris from the Houston Texans. All right, buddy, Bills and Texans Thursday night. I thought that was a bit of a surprise, right? I mean, like, I thought it could be a primetime game. I thought last year would be. It wasn't. A Thursday nighter in Houston, which, by the way, we are looking forward to it here because at that time of year, getting away and going to Houston, Texas for, you know, a couple of days for a Thursday night game, not the worst thing in the world.
No, it's not. And that's actually probably the best time to be in Houston. You do not want to be here. I mean, we play inside, so that helps. But when I can't remember what the temperature was when you guys flew in last year. Was it week 5? I mean, it's still 95 degrees and 100% humidity, and it's just, you know, awful. And then you guys have to play outside in Miami too, and sometimes in September. So it doesn't make it great whether it's night or day. But that time of year will be really nice. I was hoping that being Thursday night, that Bills Mafia would decide, yeah, we're not going anywhere on Wednesday. And I was like, no, I know Bills Mafia.
It doesn't matter.
Here.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So I think the team looks forward to that one. Again, you know, I think the talk here in Houston is, okay, great. You can win the AFC South. You can beat the Titans, the Colts, and the Jags, and that's fantastic and all that. But you need to beat these good teams consistently. And obviously we beat Buffalo last year. We caught Buffalo at a good time. It was a good time for us because we were still relatively healthy. Didn't have Joe Mixon in that game, but we were relatively healthy. Did lose Nico in that game, and so that hurt. And so when you compound that with Steph a few weeks later, we were back to square one throwing the ball. But we got to beat these teams. We've got to beat the Bills. We got to beat the Ravens. We got to beat the Chiefs. I mean, we've never beaten the Ravens with Lamar Jackson. We've beaten the Chiefs once back in 2019. We've got to prove that if we want to be amongst this elite group of teams, that we can consistently beat the good teams, and we certainly can't lose to good teams at home. And of those three I mentioned of the AFC champs last year, we beat the Bills at home. And luckily we get the Bills at home, but we got to go to Baltimore and Kansas City. So it'll be definitely a prove it game for the Texans again. And that late in the season, obviously we'll see where teams are, but my hope is that both teams are playing well, and it ends up being a big boffo night for Amazon to have that game on Thursday night. I think it could be a great one. Night games in Houston are pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And my guess is if the weather is nice, which it could be, they'll open the roof. And it's pretty cool. Now, they don't open the roof often. They did last year on Sunday night against the Bears, and it got a little steamy inside, I'll say that. But that was week two. This is later in the year, so it should be okay. But it's a beautiful sight. It's a really cool vibe for a night game. And obviously, Bills Mafia adding to that will make it pretty cool as well. So I'm looking forward to it. Having you back down here for tacos and barbecue and some good football.
Yeah, all right, buddy. Hey, listen, your daughter would be very proud of me. I think you saw on social, I got a speaking role in the Hallmark movie centered around the Buffalo Bills that they filmed here in Buffalo that they're just wrapping up this week, by the way. Last year, it was the Kansas City Chiefs. It was Travis Kelce was in it. Obviously, they have a lot of Bills people. Sean McDermott's in it. But I actually got a speaking role, and I had dialogue with the lead actor, Matt D'Addario.
Listen, I was very excited for you. I was very excited, and I broke this news to my wife, who might be Hallmark's number one fan.
I love it. Oh, my gosh.
I caught 15 minutes of hell. Well, why aren't the Texans doing that? You could have that role, too. Sounds great, but you could have that role.
Yeah, you see?
I caught hell for 15 minutes for that.
I hope you explained that Hallmark decided, you know, who to have here, not the team, right?
I know. It's just, you know, my daughter being in the acting world and my wife kind of being her momager and all that kind of stuff. It was funny. She was laughing at the end of it, but you know, she said to tell you congratulations and
you got it.
Very, very happy for you, my man. My daughter will actually be director Ryan Murphy has his third season of Monster.
Yeah.
I don't know when it'll be released, but the last episode of that series, directed by Henry Winkler's son, my daughter is featured in that last episode. So I'm interested to see how that goes. She had a great time doing it. So we'll have something to look forward to. I think it's probably more 2026, might be fall 25. We'll see. But I was very proud of her for that. But you having lines with the lead actor on that is
very cool.
I'm very proud of you.
And I'm proud of your daughter. I mean, I know, I remember years ago you were telling me about the grind. I mean, it's like an athlete, right? There's so many twists and turns that you have to really kind of pick yourself up a lot. And for her to be in this position, that says so much about her, John. It's amazing. And I know where she got it from. It's mom, not dad, but I know where she got it from. But no, seriously, that is amazing. That is amazing that she's risen to this level after, you know, having to go through all that.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, acting, it's wild. I know everybody sees the people that make millions and millions of dollars, but even those guys, like my buddy Sean Pendergast, had a speaking engagement with Sean Astin, who was Rudy. And he went and picked him up, and he said one of the things that they were talking about is the fact that you go months at a time, you don't work. Sometimes you go years without work. You're just looking for something, anything, to kind of keep your acting chops sharp. Because it's not like you can just, like basketball, you can just go pick a ball in the park.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, where do you go act? And so my daughter's found some other some other things to do. She met a lot of people there. It's kind of nice. Her neighbor, who bought a house from Stevie Nicks, is one of her best friends. She's like 70. Her next door neighbor is like 92. They all hang out, have tea in the afternoon. It's kind of funny. So she's really adapted to the LA lifestyle, which is kind of nice. But
love it.
She waits and waits for that one opportunity. So we'll see what happens from this. But I'm proud of you, buddy. That's going to be really, really cool. My wife did make me watch the Chiefs one last year. I had to vomit at the end of it.
Yes, I know,
take
right?
a shower. It's very disappointed with that. I'll probably have to do the same here. But what I see on the screen will be very, very cool, man. Congratulations.
You got it. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I know you're a busy guy, and we'll look forward to talking again down the road, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Go Astros.
I hate that. Oh, man. Oh, I knew he was going to throw that in there. I don't hate him. I hate that he did that, though. Sneaky guy. John Harris, he's always great to talk to. I got to get to a break here. I'm sorry. And I know Tom in Wheatfield is on. He wants to talk about, you know, what we were talking about with the stick earlier. So, Tom, I'll get to you. I have to tell this quick story, though, how I met John Harris. We weren't just like, yes, he's a sideline reporter for the Texans. What happened was, do you remember the EJ Manuel pick six game with TJ Watt runs it back?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. In that game, it's my first year on the sidelines for the Bills on the radio network. It's 2014. And we're in Houston, and a lot of these stadiums, the connection, because of where the antennas might be, might not be as good as other stadiums or whatever the interference might be in the area, because it's all wireless, just like any wireless situation. So because this particular stadium, NRG, is so big and cavernous, where the Bills visiting radio booth was really far away kind of from where the Bills sideline is on the other side versus like you go to Highmark. Everything kind of a little lower, right, for the radio booths? So everything's closer. So we couldn't get a good signal. And Greg Harvey and Todd Brody, our engineers, said, I think you might have to go to the Texans sideline to do your reports. And I'm like, oh, come on. If you think, well, that's the only way we can do this to get a good signal without it dropping. So like, all right, I'll stand on the Bills sideline, but when I talk, I'll kind of walk over to their sideline so I'm closer to you guys. So I did that, and I had to go do a report, and I go over there. And I'm standing, I'm trying to be like at the 5-yard line, you know, go, I don't want to go too far over there. And I look and this guy in a Texans uniform, Texans pullover with a microphone is looking at me like, who the hell is this dude with the Bills guy on the sideline? And I looked and I just pointed up at the antenna and he just smiled and he goes, I know, because he must have seen it before. And I'm like, I did my report. I go, hey, my name's Sal. I'm here for this. He goes, I'm John. How are you? And we struck up a great friendship and he's become a great friend since. So that's how that all happened. So.
See, this is why you need to write your own book.
I know.
You need to create a book.
Yes, I agree. It is actually on the bucket list. I'm not kidding you. It is something I really want to do is write a book about my experiences on NFL sidelines and little anecdotes and stories like that and meeting people and the relationships and things that have happened along the way as far as games are concerned. Tom in Wheatfield, stay where you are. When we come back, we'll get to you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.